Hey, Anna. Hi, Sim. This is Chris in Denver, and I'm calling in response to the Kobe episode where Paige called in about her on-again, off-again Tinder date. Well, it's terrible to say what everyone else is thinking, but Paige is being led on. He's on Tinder and Snapchat only. Sadly, anyone listening could tell her that he uses Snapchat to send pics to people on Tinder. There are a lot of holes in his story, and she deserves much, much better. Hopefully she follows through with her cut ties, and I have a feeling that if they did stay together, he'd be on Tinder and Snapchat the entire time. A lot of women in our generation fall victim to Tinder, and I know it's not the best site for long-term relationships, but you do find a gem once in a while, and with the information supplied, it's just terribly obvious that Paige should move on. I hope that she sees her worth and moves on to someone who deserves her time and attention. Love you, Anna. Love you, Sim. And thanks for listening to my unqualified advice.
Hey, Anna. Hey, Sim. This is Erica, and I'm calling about Paige and the sketchy soldier episode. I love you guys. You're amazing with what you're doing. My concern for Paige is with this guy. Military personnel know for upwards of a year when they're being deployed overseas. So the fact that he was being stationed originally out of state and then temporarily being deployed overseas doesn't add up to me. Second is that his only social media footprint is Snapchat, where you can hide all communications. Everything gets deleted, pictures, text messages, anything. Those are my concerns. Something is not right. He is lying to her. That is my gut feeling. She needs to get to the bottom of where he went, and I'd say that she should disconnect. I'm sorry this is so brief, but I have two crazy kids and I work a lot. I'm very busy, but I had to reach out. I just felt compelled. I feel she's being played and he is using the military as a divide. I wish her all the best in this, and I hope she finds someone to give her the attention and respect that she deserves. Anna, Sim, you guys are amazing. When I found this podcast, it was like finding a gem. Thank you guys so much.
Look at you.
Sim, I pressed the button. I did it. I did it.
But here's the thing. No one else pushed it. That was amazing that you actually caught it.
I did it.
What if we just started and no one pushed record?
Oh my God.
You would have lost all of this.
Beautiful words would be wasted.
Okay, so this is exciting. What are we doing right now?
We are calling Catherine McPhee in London.
Oh, great. And you know her.
Oh, great. Listen right? to you. Fuck you. You're setting up.
You guys have a past.
Yeah. Yes, Sim, we do.
Yeah. No, she was in House Bunny. I think everyone who's listening to this knows that.
I know. I appreciated and resented simultaneously your setup.
I know. It was a beautiful setup.
Oh, like, what are we doing right now? Oh, really? We are? Yes, Sim, because you fucking arranged it.
And if I didn't set it up that way, then guess what? We would be talking for another five minutes and everyone would be bored. Laura, let's just get to the call. Let's just call. We're
going to
call Catherine. That was so mean. Oh, man.
No, it's Sunday morning and I'm feeling ornery. But I'm always feeling a little ornery, I suppose. I don't know.
I think we like the orneriness.
I don't know.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. It's Anna and Sim.
Hi.
Hi, you're on our podcast right now. We're recording. Thank you so much for doing this.
Hi, Catherine. How are you? It's so nice to meet you.
Hi, you guys. So cool. I'm going to put my headphones in because I want to make sure I can hear you the best possible way.
And she's gone.
Did we just lose her?
Poor thing. We just lost her.
Remember how earlier I pushed the button?
Yes. I feel like it's just gone to shit after that.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, sorry about that.
No, that was my fault.
Catherine, I love you and I miss you. How are you? How's London?
London is great. I'm super happy. Life is good. And it's always so good to talk to you.
I know.
Love running into you.
I know. And I don't know. Everything's always so crazy, so we don't get to see each other as much as I'd like.
I know.
What do you love about London? You're performing Waitress there?
Yeah. So Waitress the musical, which has been a really successful musical in New York on Broadway for like almost three years now, is opening here in London. So they asked me to open the show, and it's really cool because I made my Broadway debut with that role, and now I get to make my West End debut with the same show, and it's really exciting. We've officially opened in March, but people are super excited, and it's a great cast.
So are you going to be there until March? Are you rehearsing? And
oh yeah, I mean, we've been rehearsing, and we've already started the shows. We're in previews right now, and I'll be there till, I mean, I have to be here till May contractually, and then whether or not, you know, I extend longer, we'll sort of figure that out when we get to the end of the road.
Oh, but, I want to come see you.
Come to London.
I would love to. So yeah. What do you love about performing live?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess it's just instant gratification, right? And like, just especially when you're telling such an amazing story. I don't know. Did you ever see the movie Waitress with Keri Russell?
No.
I have. It's great.
It's such a great, it's a great little, it's like a little independent film that did actually really well. Did really well on the festival circuits. This was like back in 2008 or something like that. It was a while ago. But anyway, they turned into a musical, and it's such a beautiful story of this girl who is just, you know, been in a miserable marriage, and he's really unkind to her, and she gets pregnant, and she's just this like fork in the road of, my gosh, what do I do with my life? I have this baby coming now. But she has this creative outlet because she's this amazing baker. And she has these two girlfriends she works with at the diner, and she finds a new doctor, and it's this young, handsome new doctor, and it's this forbidden affair that they have. But they really find a beautiful way to redeem the characters and for her to sort of find a new life. And it's just a great story. Like, I love that I get to tell a story that I think is has so much humanity in it. And so that's what I think I love about it the most. It's just that I really care about the story that I'm telling, and the audience, you can sort of just feel the audience with you. And it's just amazing.
Are you wearing a baby suit again? Baby suit?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Baby belly?
Yeah.
You are.
No baby yet myself. No personal baby myself, but I am wearing, at some point throughout the show, I am wearing, a big baby bump.
Was the first time you wore a baby bump in House Bunny?
Yes. on House Bunny. That's right. That was like a real baby bump. That had like the prosthetic and everything.
I know. I think about that. Like, that must have been such a pain in the ass, but I was so consumed with my own shit during that time that I wasn't aware.
I only had to come in like 2 hours earlier before everybody else. Fine.
Yeah, why? What happens? Why'd you have to come in earlier? I thought it was just something you just throw on top.
No. There's a whole thing. Because you showed it a lot.
Because we showed the belly. We had to look real. It was fun. I loved it. Are you kidding me? I was like on the first big movie. I was so excited to be hanging out with all of you guys and working. And I loved it. It was great. But yeah, it does take a while to put all those prosthetics on.
I was thinking about some of my memories of you in the House Bunny. Do you like have a favorite memory from that shoot?
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing, I mean, I look back on that film, and I just remember there was so much camaraderie amongst all of us girls, and you obviously were like the producer star of the show. So you had like a different focus than, you know, I would say me and Emma Stone and Kat Dennings and Rumor. So you had to be a little bit more focused. I remember like looking at you, you were in your chair and you were like really focused. And
I was hungry.
You could barely eat anything.
Yes.
You were so hungry. You were very hungry.
I was eating chicken salad.
You were amazing. And I just remember being in the van all the time doing transport from like, from base camp to the actual fest with the girls, and like we were all singing and being obnoxious 20-something-year-olds. Even I think Emma was 18 or something like that.
But you guys are all just, so like, the
mature,
great.
The mature.
I don't know if I was mature. I was like, I was just like, I'm wearing these shoes again.
I remember I was just like, wow, you were just handling it all. Like, you were starring and producing, and you were handling like your personal shit so amazingly. And it was,
That's sweet of you to say. But
I think.
So she's saying it was inspiring.
Well, I remember.
Yeah, it was to me. Maybe it didn't feel like that to you.
No, no. I had a great time making that movie. I remember every day just feeling so lucky, like that, and proud that it was like
it was
this.
So cool.
And I remember, I have two memories. I remember like the night that we did the Zeta party.
That was a fun night.
It was kind of late in the shoot from what I remember. And it felt late
all night.
But I just remember feeling so high, maybe because we were all dancing and wearing like those crazy costumes and everything. But it was, I just remember feel like that rush of like,
delirious.
You know, fuck yeah, we're doing this. But a specific memory I have of you is how you would crack us up by being able to mimic, parrot like other singers so well.
Wait, by being a what?
You would be able.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do you remember this? Like you would sing.
Yeah, I mean, well,
as other singers, like so
like I was
fucking spot
sing,
on,
like Celine Dion or like Natalie Merchant.
Yes, yeah, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Like your voice.
Oh yeah,
is
that's
so
fun.
Fucking
that's like amazing. That's a fun party trick.
Okay, you know? So wait, so will you indulge us if you feel like it? You don't have to. You can totally refuse.
Wait, sure. I'm trying to think.
Would you do like a happy birthday or a public domain song? Because
because we can't afford any songs right now.
Oh my God, really? Oh, that's, you have to do. You have to do just generic public domain songs. I'm trying to think. So much of it is like I love Celine Dion, but so much of her songs are. Happy birthday. There he is. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Somebody like the slow vibrato, like the fast and then quick vibrato, the quick little. I'm trying to think of, I wish I could sing the Natalie Merchant song. Is she going to really hear this? Is she really going to want like her.
All right, just go for it. We'll risk it. Go for it.
Remember this song? This is like a 90s song. These are the days I remember. Remember?
Yes. And it's like, do you, are you like clenching your jaw in a specific way for that? Like almost singing through your teeth or something?
This is probably really bad for my vocal cords.
Oh, sorry. Shit, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I love doing that. I wish I, like, the Celine Dion is a hit and miss. Like, I have to really kind of, certain songs I'm better at it than, like, we've seen Ariana Grande do it. I mean, she's like insane at it.
But you're
so good at it.
You're amazing.
That's nice. I'm glad you remembered my sort of, you know, want to entertain people side of me.
There's like sometimes people sing like in sort of a twee. I don't know enough about music to be able to accurately describe it, but it makes me a little bit crazy. It's like it's almost like a cutesy. I don't know, like. I can't fucking do it, but I don't know.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I want to know what you're talking about.
Like, it's like an indie twee, like cutesy. It feels like things are coming out of like, I don't know, Catherine, do you know what I'm saying?
You mean like the Billie Eilish, like that kind of sound, or?
I don't know. It tends to happen with female vocalists. And it feels like, gosh, I have to think about this. Like it's, no, that's not it. See, I can't do this. Anyway, Catherine, I don't mean to bore our audience.
Why am I under the impression that you actually can sing and you just like pretend like you can't?
I love you. Maybe it's, I truly can't. In fact, I think when I was making Just Friends, my character has this arc where I become like, I'm like this awful person, an awful singer. And at the very end, we shot this scene where I'm like playing piano and I'm actually a really good singer and it's kind of like sentimental and it's like, oh, she's grown. And they, when we shot it, I had a terrible voice and then
they have to overdub it.
They were like, oh boy, we have to bring in a professional, like whatever. But then when they cut the movie together, they were like, no, you know what? She should continue to be an insane person. So we did reshoots and I was really grateful. Because it was like, that character should remain awful. Catherine, okay, so you're, we have two ideas for you before we call people. And I wanted you to pick. We have dating deal breakers or bridesmaids deal breakers. Do you have a choice? I mean, do you have an opinion about this?
Dating or bridesmaids?
Yeah,
bridesmaids.
Yeah, so dating deal breakers, imagining that you're single, or bridesmaid deal breakers, because that might be relevant to your life. But I don't know.
I did the bridesmaid thing. I did the big wedding, which I'm pretty sure you're invited to.
And I came. I was there. I was the obnoxious person somewhere around there.
It was a massive, you know, like one of those big weddings.
It was fucking beautiful. It
was beautiful. And he's still a really lovely, sweet man. So we're not going to, it's nothing negative there. But like, I think I'm going to do the dating thing. I'll pretend like I'm single because I'm not doing the bridesmaids thing. And like, if I could do it all over again, I wouldn't do it so big. You know what I mean? So
I do. I know exactly.
You get to do it all over again.
You know, I have a lot of strong opinions about weddings, which I think our listeners know. Because, you know, I'm experienced, but like just the idea of, you know, ranking your friends, it's just, you know, I think it becomes very stressful for a bride. Like when there's like the maid of honor and then, you know, I just,
And a groom. I mean, for my first wedding, I had a big wedding and I had 14 groomsmen. Anna, you remember. I had 14.
Yeah. Because I couldn't get out of control, right?
It looked so ridiculous and there was no room for everyone. But I couldn't rank my friends. I couldn't do it.
And did they get weird? I don't know.
No, I have friends who are still pissed at me that they didn't make the first 14. By the way, I don't have any more friends since that point, but I have Anna. Anna's my friend.
That's the thing. I mean, I got married really young, and I mean, there's lots of people who get married really young and they have successful marriages and stuff. So it's not to say like when you're young, you can't have a successful marriage, but like, I will say, I think when you're younger, you tend to kind of have like a bigger mentality about things, like go bigger, go have a big wedding, have a bigger bridesmaid group and all that stuff. And like the older I am now, I'm like, oh, that's so like, that just sounds stressful. I want to order pizza and have like a nice celebration, you know, with just the people that I know I'm going to talk to in 10 years, 15, 20 years from now.
I'm so with you. And you're right. And also like I could talk for like an hour about my thoughts about weddings, but, big weddings and how like people, you know, people just bring the drama when they want to.
Yeah. My like general rule with weddings is, you know, people get really upset, like friends get really upset about the plus one thing and all that stuff. And, you know, the thing I always, having been gone through a wedding, no matter what size the wedding is, people are always on a budget, you know, like whether someone has an extremely big budget or a small budget. I always think people have to consider the bride and the groom and just like be sacrificial in those sort of moments and just kind of go like, I'm going to do my best to be as positive as possible. And whatever it is that they wish and extend to me, I'm just going to say, okay, great. That sounds great. And even if you don't like it or you don't agree with it, it's just like, just give them that day to just have it how they want it. Even if you didn't get your plus one or you're this or you're that, you know, just
be cool.
Just be fucking cool. Yeah. That's my mentality with the wedding stuff.
Get
you know,
your crab cake and your champagne and fucking dance and just be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
He has a rooster in his apartment.
Oh, wait. So I missed the first part. Or is that the first part?
That's yes. These are things. Are these? Yeah. Deal breakers. He.
Okay.
He has a pet rooster.
He has a rooster
in his apartment.
Well, okay. Being the animal person that I am, I probably would draw some. What kind? Is it an apartment? Is it a house? Is there a backyard?
It's a nice apartment, and he's got a deck, a balcony, I should say.
Okay, and this rooster, does it wear a diaper? Is it trained? Is it an alarm clock every day?
Yes, it is his natural alarm clock.
Okay, so listen. I mean, probably wouldn't work out for me, but this is why I ask questions, because it really depends on the person who's dating this person. If they just can't stand the rooster and they can't find middle ground for the rooster, and one person's unwilling to get rid of the rooster, then I would say it wouldn't work. But
I think this is an oddly tough one, because I don't know who this person is.
There's no way you could live in an apartment with a rooster. It's impossible. I don't care how great the guy is.
We also need more information. Honestly, if you're going to live with a rooster, you really, this guy better be really awesome.
Right. You're right. And
no guy is that awesome. You're going to hate it after a week.
Yeah. That's true.
What's a rooster's lifespan, though? Maybe it's a very old rooster.
I would just love to talk to this person and see if she's just really happy. But the rooster is the only thing that's bringing her down,
I can't figure out if this guy is funny and that's why he has a rooster, or if he's so not funny and that's why he has a rooster.
I have to be honest. I'm obsessed with this Instagram account. They almost have 100,000 followers, and I'm obsessed with this account on Instagram because it's these two ducks, mostly one duck, and this old golden retriever that are the cutest things together. They sleep together, they cuddle. I can't help but think, wow, this account is so cute. I really want a duck. Of course, I'm not going to go out and get a duck. But, if you look at this account, you'll be like, wow, maybe there's something having, a duck. So now I'm sort of obsessed with, the idea of having a duck. Apparently, they follow you around everywhere. But I'm an animal person. So that being said, I'm not going to go out and buy a duck, but if you're an animal person and you date somebody who has a rooster, I wouldn't be it's no deal kind of thing. It just depends on how well behaved this rooster is.
Catherine, on the fence with the rooster. Okay, so wait, he wears flip flops to the gym.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
Okay, I like it. I like the decisiveness with that one.
I cannot. I cannot with the flip-flops anywhere, to be honest.
I think flip-flops to the gym is odd, but I don't mind a flip-flop. I like flip-flops. After dating for 2 weeks, he gets a ticket driving your car. But you don't find out until it's been mailed to you.
I don't care about... Oh no. That would really bug me.
This happened to me, actually.
That would be a major conversation piece. I don't know if it would be hey, we're breaking up over this, but I think that's pretty lame.
Yeah. I think it's pretty lame too. Yet I stuck with the relationship.
It actually happened to you?
It did. Yeah, it did. Not after
so
2 weeks.
Wow. What was his excuse?
Oh, just you don't understand. Yeah, no, it was more defensive than that. It was
I forgot it would be mailed to you.
It was perfect. Okay, so
I had a guy that I was dating who was pulled over in my car, but he took the ticket and then I never heard about it. So I guess I avoided that conversation.
Yeah, I had not only a speeding ticket, but parking tickets.
Anna, this is terrible.
That's the kind of optimist I am.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I do really want to tell you, more detail, but I feel a little bit, guilty.
If you want to share with us, you go right ahead. This is no one's listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I don't. It's just, you know, yeah, it's early 20s. What are you going
to
do?
That's all you need to say.
Yeah. Okay. When you guys are hooking up for the first time, he raises your arm sensually and licks your armpit. And he says, "I love it. I love the taste of a real woman."
That is so weird. I mean, I'm all for, like, you know, being weird and silly, but that goes just a little too far for me.
Yeah. Well,
Anna, you're thinking about this as if that happened to you, is that a deal breaker?
Well, she's considering it.
Yeah.
Well,
seems like it.
First of all, in the moment, like, if things are, like, getting that intimate and whatever, you're naked or half dressed or whatever, like, how do you shut somebody down? How do you be like, oh, no, you know, I mean, I guess you say, like, I'm ticklish in that area if you like that person, right? I mean, you've liked them enough to start, like, fooling around.
But then he says, "I love the taste of a real woman."
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah, it's like, I think I would also
say,
like,
lick somewhere else and say that.
But you're right, the real woman part.
I mean,
part,
I'm just saying.
But I don't know. I would be thinking a lot about it. And I don't know exactly what real woman.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah, like right. Do you awkwardly say, like, oh, what is a fake woman?
I love the smell of your pheromones.
Right. And then are you like, well, he knows the word pheromone, so maybe is that the plus in this?
Hey, yeah, exactly. That's a big word.
Yeah. He introduces you to people as Kit Kat.
Oh. I don't know why that made me giggle so much. Yeah, hey, this is my girlfriend. This is my girlfriend, Kit Kat.
Yeah.
I'd probably just start giggling. I'd probably be like, what? so-and-so, you're just being so weird. Funny. I mean, I don't think, no one ever has called me Kit Kat aside from my dad, so that'd be a little weird.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. Like the nicknames that we have that we associate with, like, our childhood.
Well, yeah, like little pet names that your parents call you.
Yeah. Okay. He tells you he didn't vote for you on American Idol, which I think is just kind of. I mean, I have my own opinions about this.
I would be totally, again, my motto, just be cool. I'd be totally fine with that.
Really?
I would agree with them probably.
Really? I just don't.
What a weird thing to say, though. Why would you say that? Like, who would say that?
Right.
I think it's a dick thing to say.
In my opinion.
I like to put things in context. So if you're gonna say that, like, if the guy that I'm on a date with says it in a serious way, like, yeah, I just want to let you know, I didn't vote for you on American Idol. I just didn't think you were good. I'd be like, well, you kind of suck. You have zero facts.
But what if
it was like a playful conversation?
What if he says, like,
right? And he was like, oh, I don't know. I just loved Soul Patrol. I was from the South. And I just loved Taylor Hicks.
Does he save himself or bury himself if he says, he first says that I didn't vote for you on American Idol. And then he says,
yeah,
it's because I knew that your star was much brighter.
That would be acceptable.
And our paths would cross.
I didn't want you to get trapped into the American Idol cycle. Was that what you were going for?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if that saves it. I don't know.
That's pretty good to me. Yeah.
No. But that means that.
No, but that means that there's, like, they're making fun of American Idol. Winning is a huge deal.
It means he's, like, premeditate. Like, to me, it actually gets kind of worse, I think, mm-hmm. if if it's like, well, how the fuck?
I don't know. These are all pretty weird things to say in general, so I would probably just say no to it.
Okay, so, he grows medical marijuana in his guest bedroom.
That doesn't sound like a winning, manly quality. Like, I mean, as long as he's not like selling it or something, illegally, obviously. I mean, it's not as big of a thing anymore, right? Like, selling marijuana is all legal, and I mean, in most states, but.
Would it be a maker?
As long as he had like a thriving career doing something else, you know, that was he was passionate about. And,
yeah,
but he was just like a dope smoker.
He's a masseuse.
Marijuana.
He's a masseuse.
Would be attracted to that.
He's a masseuse to the stars.
Oh, a masseuse to the stars. Yeah. Fine. Listen. Yeah, masseuse to the stars. I value people who are good at what they do, you know? So if he's a masseuse to the stars, he's clearly good at what
this is a new character for yourself.
And part of the reason he has like the star hookup is because he brings his own special strain, you know?
Hey, listen, now we're going somewhere. Here's a good episode for some sort of, maybe he could even be in House Bunny too, you know?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be.